Before I start, am I allowed to just, yeah, just before? I just got to say, I just want to honour my husband before I start. I'm the one that likes to do the rabbiting. But, you know, John and I are such a team and we don't work very well without each other. And this month, we've been married for 53 years. So it's quite a long time, isn't it? Yeah. Before I start as well, I also want to say, please don't watch this or listen to this like a third party, because Kingsgate Church are part of this journey. Kingsgate Church are blessing Potter's Heart every month. I have to say, not just with monetary value, but because we know there are people here who support us and who pray for what's going on. So I hope that as I speak this morning about what's been happening, that you'll all be as excited as I am, because you're part of the journey. Some of you will come with us to Kenya and some maybe never will, but nonetheless, you're part of the journey. And that's very exciting to me. So, technology's nothing, is it? We can get it going, can't we? With Lizzie's help and a little lead. Right. So, I don't know if everybody that's here would have been here when we spoke before. So, just in case anybody doesn't know, we're Potter's Heart. And we are Potter's Heart because God said he gave us that name and he gave us the clear instruction to start the charity that we're running now. And he continues to instruct us. And I always think, sometimes I say to him, you've given me a lot of instructions, and then I'm humbled by remembering that actually I'm a person that needs a lot of instructions. And he also needs to tell me some things more than once, if I'm being really honest. But we're Potter's Heart. We've now got Potter's Heart Bognor, Potter's Heart Great Linford in Milton Keynes, Potter's Heart Pottersbury, Potter's Heart Birmingham, and Potter's Heart Lincoln. So we're growing. We're growing. I put that picture on. That was on last time we came. And I put that because in Kenya, just like here, we're in team. And these are our team. And can you see that? Is it all right? Am I standing in the wrong place for a start? No. And is it a little bit fuzzy? Or is it okay? Is it okay? Yeah. Because we really love these people. And these are the two families, their brothers, Paul and Jonah. Actually, their third brother, Stephen, is in the middle. And these two guys were born with community development right through them. They just love God with all their heart and they want to see things better. They want to see things better in their immediate community, but they want to see things better in the whole of Kenya. That's how big their hearts are. And we love them and we work closely with them. And John and I have just spent a week out there in some very... There were very important talks, because God sent John and I for the week when it was pouring with rain and flooded and cold and horrible. But we needed to go, and we had lots more hours of talking with them about exactly what partnership means. And it was amazing. We're from different cultures, but we're not. Because we're all kingdom culture. There's so many things that are different in the Kenyan culture and British culture that you'd think there'd be a great big chasm, but there's not. Or never one that we can't get across because we're kingdom culture. So we figure that God's given us all gifts or a gift, and that we should get off our bottoms and use them. And that's really what this is about, really, isn't it? It's each one of us acknowledging that we've got something to give, that we should be using what he's given us to use. And that's really what Potter's Heart stands on. So we know that the way that we're going to do it as Potter's Heart is through teaching and training. But actually, when I say that, I've missed out one important word that comes at the beginning of that, because how we do it is through loving teaching and training. That's how we do it. It's because we see that many people have never had a chance for education. That's not right, is it? It's not right. You know, it's not the way it should be. They've never had the chance for education, or if they have had a chance, it's very little education. So you couple no education with living in a mindset of poverty and the fact that there genuinely aren't any jobs to be had, it can be, in the natural, a bit of a grim view, can't it? So we figure that we will go in there and we will love people and we will teach them the things that they feel they need to know. So we won't pop along and say, we're white people and we're British and we know what you need. We don't do that. We go and we say, what's troubling you? What's causing you? What's keeping you awake at night? What's making you ill? What's making people argue? What's making you unhappy? How do you see the future? We ask those questions and we listen and we take note of it. And then we help them prioritise the things that are bothering them the most, and whatever they are, we teach. And we make a bold claim that whatever you want us to teach, we will teach. If we can't rustle it up amongst the team on that occasion, we'll make sure we take somebody with us the next time that can fill that gap. But do you know, God is so amazing that that as yet has never happened. Every single thing that every village we've been into has come up with, we've always had the person on team that could fill that gap. That's our Father for us, isn't it? Some people come with us and they say, well, I don't really know why I'm going. I don't know what I've got to offer, and I'm not sure what I'm going to be teaching. But God does, you see. And God has stirred your heart to come on the trip. And when you get there, he'll use you with what you've got in you to teach people. And at the end of every week's teaching, we give them a Potter's Heart certificate. Now, to us lot, they're certificates of attendance and, yeah, well, you know, I could get a collection of these. To them, they're precious. And if they do get the opportunity to go for a job or anything like that, the certificate will go with them and that will help them. And they're just like you and I. They're ordinary folk. They're mums and dads. They're just lovely people. Just lovely people for whom life circumstances have been very tough. They want to be taught. That's a pleasure. You know, not everybody wants to be taught, but these people soak it up. You could stay there all day and all night and they'd still be furiously taking notes, those that can write and those that have got a notepad. And they'd just be soaking it up. And that, to us, isn't that... That's, if anybody here is a teacher, you'll know that's a real encouragement, isn't it? If people actually want. Now, you've heard us, some of you, most of you have heard us say before that we've got a dream for a training centre. It's a very big dream and it looks like this. It's a big dream. It's got a whole, this front bit is all the teaching areas. We figure if you're going to do it, go large. You know, God didn't say piffle about with small dreams, did he? In fact, God gave me the dimensions for this and the shape, and I woke up the next morning and asked John to draw it straight away, and he did. And then we found an architect who would do this for us. He didn't charge us. He did it for us. So the front block is all the training, and that block on that side is sort of like admin and store and stuff like that. And this block is rooms en suite, if you like, en suite rooms for people who are coming on team to stay in. So it's a single story, and what God said to me, really, really important this bit is, you see the bit in the middle? That is a beautiful garden. That's got trees. That's got shade. Across this back bit will be a veranda. And it's a place where people will be able to go, a place of peace, a place of refuge, a place of retreat, and a place of learning. And this is how it sits on the plot of land. But you can just about see it. That's that shape. And this block here that's a separate block is a block that we will build that will put, be able to put students in. Because some of the students come miles. Now, right over on that side, you can just see a little mark. So now I get to an exciting piece of news. Last time we were standing on the land, this group of boys came up to us. They were just wandering past us down the lane, and they'd obviously plucked sugar cane as they were walking. And they were children from very poor families. They were malnourished. The school uniforms were very raggedy. And they stood and they watched us. And John was just finishing building the tin shelter that's on the land. And they said to us, "Have you come to bring water?" And at that point, the drought was terrible. And I looked at them and I said, "We have." And they said, "When will the water come?" And at that time, we knew that we needed 14,000 to drill a borehole. And I think at that point, we had about 4,000. And I said, "The water will come very soon." I said that in faith. The water will come very soon. The living water will come very soon. In the interim, boys, have some bottles of water. And that's what we gave them. So, when John and I just went to Kenya, during the week we were there, we felt something break in the spirit. Something broke. And the day after we came back, someone gave us £1,500. The next day, somebody gave us £100. The next day, somebody gave us £100. The next day, somebody that we didn't know, had never met in our lives before, that lives in our village, knocked on the door and gave John a cheque for 5,000. So in a week, we managed to get to where we needed to be for the borehole to be drilled. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God amazing? And that water is 250 metres down. We're not talking like any lightweight drilling. Apparently this drilling will take 2 days. We've sent the money off this week. I've sent off £400 for the drilling permit. And what we're going to do is ask them to not drill until we are there as a team in November. Because what I really want to do, I want to stand there when that living water comes up. I just think that would be such an amazing experience for us all to be part of, as you know, particularly as everybody is part of the journey. So when that water comes up, I know it's not the end. I know we've still got then to raise the money for the pump, and that's about 10 grand, we think. But we will have all about, when we've paid for the drilling, I think we'll have about 2,000 towards the pump. And once we've got the water, it will start to give water to these children and all the families that live round about here. It will be the ladies. For the ladies, it's like giving them the most precious gift, because currently they walk for hours. So the water will be there for them, and the water will be there for us to build the training centre, because it's much easier to build, isn't it, if you've got water. And it will be there to serve all the people who, in years to come, go along to this centre. So we are just so excited. I was, when the lady gave John the cheque for 5,000, I was up the road at somebody's coffee afternoon, tea and cakes. John came bounding round the corner. He said, "I couldn't wait for you to come home. I had to come and tell you." And what was amazing as well, I write, you know, a few blogs, and I rab it on in our monthly Village magazine. And I often write it, and I confess, I often write it thinking, I bet nobody reads this. And these people that gave the 5 grand, she said, "We always read what you write, and we want to be involved in providing water." So it was very fitting that they gave the last bit of money we needed to drill that, wasn't it? You know, God is so good. We care about the men. The men in Kenya, we laugh about them. I know we do, because the men don't do the work. The men do the thinking. Come on, be fair. All the ladies have to do is fetch and carry the water, have the babies, look after them. The ladies have to work on the farm. The ladies have to find the firewood. The ladies have to look after the cattle, and the ladies have to cook the food. That's all they've got to do. So clearly the men have the important role, because they sit and think, you know? So in the time we've been going to Kenya, we've been trying to help them to look at that maybe a different way. Maybe saying that God quite likes equality, and that it would be good for the men to do a little bit every now and then. So John and males that he takes with him on team will work with the men of all ages, trying to... He does man-to-man stuff, talks about things that are important to you guys. And he doesn't mince his words. It gets right in there, and they learn a lot, let's say. And he also does a lot of vocational teaching. So with these guys, and these guys are all young guys. You know, some of them are so bright. You know, we mustn't assume because they've not been educated, they're not clever, because they are. But there's no work. And they're cheesed off. You know, what's the point of getting up? They've got no... John's been teaching them carpentry. And a group of them have now set up a small business, making stools and tables. So it's sort of twofold. It's doing the vocational stuff, but it's also talking to them openly as men. It's not easy, is it, to live in a culture where it's the norm to beat your wife? You know, it's not easy. And, you know, the children, you live in a hut, the children see dad beating mum. So when the sons grow up, they think that's how you do it. And, you know, they have never heard another point of view. So when John is able to say, "I've been married to Lyndon for 53 years and sometimes she annoys me like billio, and sometimes I'm so cheesed off with her, but I never hit her," is a big thing to them. And it's helpful to try and talk to them about, ask them, what do you think God says about that? What do you think the Bible verses, because they'll find you verses that say that they should hit their women and that they should hit their children, because it's commonplace for children to be battered. I'm not just talking about non-Christians, I'm talking about in the church as well. And the children will be picked up by an arm. It makes you cringe as a mum, you know, you think, oh, dislocation any minute, you know. But gradually that takes time to teach it, to give examples, to not say, "We know best and we in the West have got it all right." We don't do it like that. You know, it's partnership. It's helping them to have a think for themselves what the difference is between kingdom culture and country culture. Because really, that's what we're talking about. And that's what we need to learn here as well, isn't it? But that's a different talk, isn't it? I just put this one in because don't you think this is amazing that they can do this without any proper ladders or any proper tools? Every church they make is like this, and it's got, you can see, can you see sort of like wrappings around? Well, that's a fixing. You know, that's the way they fix it. And when John does DIY stuff out there, my heart's in my mouth because they stand on rickety ladder things made out of bits of old twig, just bound together, and they're their ladders. But they love building their churches, and there is something prophetic, isn't there, about building your church? I think there's something quite, you know, I bet you wish you'd got a fiver, John, for every church you've built out there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's John, who is the guy who recently has been driving us. He meets us at the airport. We pay for the vehicle hire, and John comes with it. And he's he's a family man. He's a Christian. And he loves to come in the teaching. He loves to hear what it is. And over the times we've been, he says himself he's learned a lot. But what he dearly loves is the vocational training. He loves it to be with John when he's doing carpentry or plumbing. He's learned a lot of stuff, John, hasn't he? He's a clever man. I'll tell you something interesting about John, because he drives and he takes people, he's used to taking people with lots of money, and we tease him, and it's quite hard for him to adjust to us lot, who are saying, excuse me, we're not on holiday, no, we don't want to go to that posh hotel, and you know, and but he knows, because of his job, the names of birds and animals. Now, Kenya's got some amazing birds and animals, but nobody else knows any... What's that called? It's a bird. It's an animal. They just haven't got... They're just not interested. They don't know the names of any flowers, of any trees. It's a flower or a tree. But John's really quite interesting because he does know whether it's a sunbird or whatever it is it's called. So, when our team go in November with a good, a lovely, lovely tranche of your people from here coming with us, they're in for an exciting trip. Because time before last when we went, John and I went and did a recce in two places that we didn't know. The brothers that we worked with had got contacts with the people, but we'd never been there. This first one, called Dagara, broke our hearts. You know, when you say, Jesus, break my heart with what breaks yours? Oh, boy. I remember praying that as we were driving there. And when I got there, I don't know if you can see clearly enough, but there's no hope in those eyes. The eyes are dead. They're sad. They're starving, the drought's terrible, but more than that, they're displaced people. They've come from an area where tribal fighting broke out and their loved ones were killed, and they came with what they'd got, and government gave them plots of land, but the land is sandy and it's useless for building a mud hut on. Because if you build a mud hut with sand in the mix, what happens? It blows over. It disintegrates. The people who live in the next village resent them, don't want them there. So every time any of these try and even get so much as a chicken, the people from the next village come with guns and take what they want. So they ran away from violence and they've placed them beside violence. So we came away from there saying, we have to go back. We have to help. We have to go and see what we can do. We have to listen to them. We have to love them. And so we are going to go at, we land in Nairobi and we're going to drive straight to this place. And we're going to do 3 days there teaching. Now, you might be wondering why we've chosen to do this, because it will be a bit of a baptism of fire for the new folk on the trip. But we figure that it's almost better to take them there at the beginning before they know what they're doing. Because when after a week, when they think they know what they're doing, they'll be in there like Flynn. And it does take probably more than a week to really know what you're doing. So we thought we'll start them off there. The people were not unfriendly to us. They welcomed us. They're definitely of the mindset that the only way you can help us is to give us money. And we know that's not true. But it'll take them a while to know that. We don't quite know what God is going to do in those 3 days. Are you telling me to hurry up, John? Okay. We don't know quite what we're going to do in those, what God will do in those 3 days, but we know it'll be good. We know it'll be good. And the second new place is to a place called Old Corral. And this is an old friend of ours. We've had Benson in our classes for years. And he, Benson, in a manly sort of way, fell in love with John years ago. And these two are best buddies. And when Benson, when we said we would go to his village, Benson cried with joy. So he's a pastor and he's a lovely little guy. And I think, so at this point, the team will divide. Some, half the team will go to Benson with John and half the team will come back to Nakuru with me. And we, I'm not going to say any more about that at the moment, but that's going to be exciting as well, an exciting new set of teaching. The ladies are important as well. Lucy's a village lady. She's only, physically, she's only known hardship all her life, since she was a little girl. She's got 6 children, and she's been in lots of family planning sessions, but she hasn't quite got the hang of it. Her husband has, but she hasn't, and the reason she hasn't is because on the same site where they live, the mother-in-law lives, the matriarch, and the matriarch thinks family planning is from the devil. So she's got a stronghold on Lucy. So we last time but one we were there, she was in the family planning again. And at the end I said to her, do you think, Lucy, you've got it now? And I heard from them yesterday, as yet there's no pregnancy. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that she has, because life is very difficult for them. They're so welcoming. I hope we all get a chance to go to their house. They are so welcoming, so hospitable, so want to share what they've got. Such lovely, lovely people. But they've only known poverty. Lucy is a typical village lady. So she sees her role in life. She believes the lie that as a woman, she has no voice. She believes that. She will keep her eyes down. She knows that she mustn't speak. She wouldn't eat if, you know, in the company of men, or if the men were to eat, she would go to another room. She's still in that village mentality. But these ladies, God loves them, doesn't he? They're precious to him and they need a voice. But you see, because they've been kept down, none of them have ever been able to speak English well enough to interpret. So when we do teaching, it's always a man that's interpreting. Now, the guys that interpret, the brothers, are really good. But we always knew that we needed to get to the point where we could do it with the women. So last time, for the very first time, we did a group. This wasn't actually that time, because there are a few men in there, but we were sitting in a circle like this, and it was the very first time that we did it without a man interpreting. We did with my poor Swahili and a young lady who I'll show you in a minute. Her schoolgirl English we managed to do it. And oh my goodness, it was an outpouring. It was an outpouring of hurt. It was as if we were clearing out muck. You know, it was just changing, transforming people's lives. And I was, Marion, the nurse, and I that were teaching, we were beyond excited, because it was so lovely that the women felt able to share with us some of the hardships they endure. Not just the walking hours for water and all that. I mean, we can't begin to imagine that, but the relationship with husbands. And they are begging us to do another couple's retreat. We've done some, and we take maybe 10 couples away, and we stay 2 days in a hotel or somewhere, which to them is like beyond belief. And it does cost money, but they'll come to us now, John, won't they, and say, it changed my life. This is what changed my life. Because they've never had any courtship. They've never had any communication in marriage. They've never had any honeymoon. And it broke all that. It broke it off them. It helped to teach them how to communicate, etc. How to start loving. How to dance together, yeah. You know, sadly, rape in marriage is commonplace. They don't even give it that name, but that's what it is. And so once they feel able to start and talk about it, and there's John there teaching the men, you, not surprisingly, things are moving. We're getting a lot working a lot better. Now, I'm hoping this is going to work. This is the young lady who interpreted. Her name is Beth, and you might have to tune your ears in a bit to the Kenyan accent, but I'm hoping that you can hear what Beth has to say.
Yes.
How old are you, Beth?
26 years old.
And how many children have you got?
I have 2 children.
2 children.
Yes.
We're just going to get a cup. I'm just interrupting this for a minute. Yeah.
Yes.
You have 2 children, and what are their names?
Yes.
What are they called?
Margaret and Anita.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Mm.
And how many years have you been married?
What?
How many years have you been married?
About 7 years old.
7 years?
Yeah.
7 years.
Yes.
And do you go to church?
Yes.
You do? And is it to the Mitimingi church?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you enjoy?
Yes.
Yeah. And is your husband a Christian?
No.
Not yet? Not
yes.
yet.
Yeah.
And does he sometimes... is he a kind man?
What?
Is he a kind man?
Yes, sometimes.
And is he sometimes not very kind?
Yes.
And what happens then?
Yeah.
What does he do?
Violence.
Violence.
Yeah. When he's drunkard?
When he's a drunkard,
yes.
He's violent.
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes do you get badly hurt?
What?
Does he smack you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. That's not very good.
Like,
is it?
He's not regular.
He's violent.
Yeah.
Not ever so violent.
Yeah.
No. So you're just an amazing young lady.
Yes.
And so you managed to bring enough money in for the family to have food?
Yes.
What? How do you do that? Where do you get your income, your money from?
At the shamba.
On the farm?
Garden, yeah.
On the farm?
Yeah. I usually keep goats.
Yes.
And chickens.
And chickens.
Yeah.
So you sell the eggs?
Yeah.
And do you sell milk from the goats?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
And what do you grow on the shamba?
Usually grow beans.
Beans?
Maize.
Maize.
Yeah.
And who does the work on the shamba?
What?
Who does the work on the shamba?
I'm not understanding.
Do you do the work? Do you make?
Yes, yes.
It's you that does it?
Yeah.
And do you look after the animals?
Yes.
Do you look after the children?
Yeah.
And the house?
Yes.
And what does your husband do?
Yes.
Does your husband work?
Yeah.
What does he do to work, your husband? What job? Does he have any way to earn money?
does he
usually work at the shamba?
At the shamba?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've got to say a huge, big thank you to you.
Yes.
We think you're a really, really special lady.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that when we come again in November,
yes,
you'll be able to interpret for us again.
Yes.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
Thank you. Did you notice that she's got the most beautiful smile? You know, she loves Jesus, and he is the joy in her life. But life can't be easy, can it, with a husband who doesn't know Jesus and is a drunkard and smacks you around when he happens to be drunk. You know, let's be honest, life's not that easy. But wasn't she brave to interpret for us? It was the first time she'd done it, and you can see that she's really concentrating. And don't forget that as we're teaching, we're talking about some really nitty-gritty topics that she's having to interpret words that she wouldn't normally hear used in her language, body parts, etc. One of the teachings that we do, and we've talked to you about, I think, before, was moringa trees. So they're miracle trees. Every part of the tree is nutritious. And I just put that one in to show you that the trees are really doing well. And the people are now using them as a paste to put on joints, aches, pains. They're putting the leaves in their tea. We've got all sorts of testimonies of healing. People using the moringa tree. And of course, once they collect the seeds, they can share them. And the vision is that everybody in the village will have a moringa tree. So they're really, really, really good stuff. I think this is a little bit from school. That little bit in to give you a bit of a flavour of the classroom and the mud walls and how there are holes in the walls and bits of paper on the walls that are the only sort of training aids that they've got at the school. So this is the school that we go to and we've fallen in love with. It's a mud hut school. It's in Gathema, where Lucy lives, the lady that I showed you, it's where she lives, and her husband, Paul, is one of the governors. A lot of the children there, like this little chappy, have got malnutrition. You can see that by his hair. There's a lot of children who have got those dead eyes. They walk for miles to get to school. They come hungry. But it's a school of joy. It's a school of a determination to teach and to make things better. And we've been taking them the red jumpers. People have been knitting the red pullovers because lots of the children can't afford a pullover. And there's one little boy that breaks my heart. And every time I've been, the only bit he's got left is that white V. He just wears that and no other bit of the jumper. I put that in to remind me to say, taking things is difficult. The last twice we've been in, we've been stopped and they've wanted us to open our cases because we take so much stuff. And yet, I look at that. That's a picture of Martha, who is Paul's wife. And that T-shirt, we must have taken that T-shirt 5 years ago. And obviously, it's still a treasured possession. And so I've said, I'm going to say to the team, if they want to take a few bits, take them in your own suitcase. Take some of your stuff out and put, rather than taking an extra case. Because I saw that, I just happened to see that in the church, and you see, it's much loved. It's a blanket that a lady in Milton Keynes made that, we probably took that out 7 years ago, and it's still covering a table in church and a loved possession. Have I got time just for one more short Yeah, just what this is. Right, so you know you saw Lucy, who's a real village lady. Well, this is her husband, Paul, and he's a pastor. And we call him Tall Paul, yeah. And we're going again, his church in Kanjoa, we're going to go there in week two, and it'll be the first time I've spoken in the church there and we've met the people, but it'd be the first time we've taught in that village. So it's really lovely for you guys on team that you're seeing the birthing of some of the teaching. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, too.
Habari Asabui.
Nzuri sana.
So we really enjoyed ourselves yesterday in your church.
Yes.
It was wonderful.
Yes.
Have you had good feedback?
I have good feedback,
yes,
from several people.
Yes.
Say that they had received healing spiritually. Then they had seen the mighty hand of God.
Yeah.
Because there was a drought, but now had rained. So they are exciting because that day was wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it. And was it the first time the church has had Mzungu visitors?
That was the first time to see Mzungu visitor.
And was it the first time they've had a woman preach?
Yes, it was the first time,
yes,
to hear the word of God from woman preach.
Yes. Yeah.
And even the Mzungu.
Mzungu?
Yeah.
And they were fine with it?
Yes, they were very happy because of that.
We are very encouraged to hear that people were healed.
Yes.
There was such a spirit of God over the church yesterday.
Yes.
With a healing anointing.
With the healing anointing.
So do you think hard places in hearts are softening?
They praise God because that day was not the little day. They had sinned. Mighty hearts, yeah, of God.
Yes.
Through the word.
Yes.
They even see that word was doing something.
Yes.
So that word was having somewhere in all over the church.
Yes.
And all over our heart.
Wow.
So we enjoy that, yeah, day.
And we had opportunity to talk after we prayed with people.
Yes.
We spoke to a young lady.
Yes.
Whose life is very difficult.
Yes.
And it made us realize that maybe some of the teaching that we have,
yes,
would be good in your village. What do you think to that?
That teaching is very good in our village,
yeah,
even the church.
Yes.
Because, yeah, it was wonderful.
Good, good. Yeah. Well, we've got a huge thank you.
Yeah.
And we hope that you will take that thank you back to your church.
Thank you.
And we also say Chukula Kachula Katamu.
Yes.
Because the food was truly delicious.
Yes.
So God bless you, Paul.
Amen. Even God bless you all.
It's a real pleasure to be able to call you,
yes,
Rafiki. One of our dear friends. Thank you.
Asante.
He is truly a man of God. He is a man of God. When we first met him, he had some very strange ideas about what God was and what the character of God was like. But he just wants to learn. He's just soaking it up. Wonderful, wonderful guy. I think we're nearly at the end now. That's Potter's Heart, Pottersbury. And you know what? That's the truth, isn't it? We should occasionally look at the results. And so it's good for us to do things like today and to just realise just how things are moving on and just how much more work there is to do. But what God has been saying to us lately, that one of the key things in all our trips is fun. It has to be fun for the team and it has to be fun for the people that are there. We don't want to be heaping condemnation. We want to be lifting people. And John was doing his best to have fun at the giraffe centre and allowing the giraffe to give him a kiss. And you can all try that if you like. You just feed the giraffe nuts. And I'm wearing a giraffe dress and obviously having a good laugh. and that's what it is about. So I don't want anybody that's coming with us to be worried about it. I know you'll be apprehensive, but not worried, because it is fun. And it has got to be fun, hasn't it? Sharing Jesus with people and sharing the learning that we've been fortunate enough to gather on our journey with other people to make a real lasting difference in their lives. So, as usual, I've rabbited on far too long, for which I apologise, and I just want to say thank you to all of you for being so patient and listening, and I hope I've given you a little bit of a taste, another taste of Kenya. Amen.